This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد, inshallah, we're starting on the chapter Bab al-Sufuf. Bab, the chapter on al-Sufuf. Sufuf are lines, meaning standing up in prayer and lining up, the rulings that are connected to and related to standing up in prayer. Where do you stand? How do you stand? And straightening of the lines. And the first hadith in the chapter is a hadith of Anas ibn Malik radiallahu anhu qal, from Anas ibn Malik radiallahu anhu, who said that the Messenger of Allah, قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم سووا صفوفكم straighten your lines and فإن الصفوف من تمام الصلاة. For indeed, the straightening of the line is part of the completion of the prayer. The straightening of the line is the completion of the prayer. So of course, we've been speaking about Quran prayer, and we went to we started with the obligation of prayers and congregational prayer, and right before this we spoke about the obligation of facing the Qibla during prayer. And when is facing the Qibla mandatory, when is it permissible to not face the Qibla, and when is it acceptable, and so forth. So it is just natural we move on. You're standing up and facing the Qibla. How do you stand up? Standing up in lines, whether you're praying in a masjid or you're praying with. So, Bab al-Sufuf, the chapter on the straightening of the lines. So, the hadith about this particular chapter is going to cover hadith, the Prophet that clarify what it means to straighten the lines and the completion of the lines and understand how to do so. So he starts off with the hadith of Anas ibn Malik radiallahu anhu, in which the Prophet said, Sawu sufufakum is an order. So the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ordered the companions to straighten. So when he says so, this is an order, and by default, an order is considered mandatory. An order is considered mandatory. And that's why the straightening of the line is considered mandatory by the majority of the scholars. Why? Because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Sawu sufufakum." Can be ordered. So, in order, unless you have a deal that says it's not mandatory, the default is that it's mandatory. That means if somebody says, for example, "I don't want to. I don't have to. I don't need to." Right? It's only sunnah. No, it's not sunnah. When you're praying, it becomes mandatory. Why? Because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "فَإِنَّ تَسْوِيَةَ الصُّفُوفِ مِنْ تَمَامِ الصَّلَاةِ." Because straightening of the lines is part of tamam, is completion. Completion, and the completion of something, that means it's not complete. It's not pure complete, and it's not done correctly. So some scholars, the majority of the scholars, are of the opinion that it is mandatory. And of course, some scholars have said, no, this is something that, of course, it's mandatory. If there's something that's mandatory, if you don't do it, it's your prayer is invalid. And there's sometimes it's mandatory. If you don't do it, you're sinning, but your prayer is still valid. So what kind of obligation is this? And what is the difference between them? When it comes to prayers, the scholars have divided the acts of prayers into arkan. What are arkan? These are the pillars. Without them, when someone forgets. It can be made up either by sujood sahwi, or if you, let's say you forget something, and in prayer, your prayer would still be considered complete and invalid. Maybe not complete in reward, but if you don't do it intentionally, it's still valid. You don't have to repeat your prayer. And then there are some acts that are considered sunnah. And there are some acts that are inside the prayer itself, and there are some acts that are outside the prayer. It's not directly related to the prayer, but it's outside the prayer. So there's different types of acts, and some are called shurut, which are not connected to the prayer directly, but they are conditions. You have to have them before you can start to pray. So when it comes to straightening of the lines, does this mean that it is mandatory, like for the completion of the prayer, or is it mandatory mandatory in terms of the validity of the prayer, or mandatory in terms of like the completion and the reward, that you should not be left out? So this is, of course, the majority of the scholars, of course, have mentioned specific acts, and those acts are mentioned in a very, very important hadith when it comes to prayer. And that prayer, that hadith, is al-musi salatahu, the person who prayed incorrectly. Those actions that are mentioned in that hadith, those actions are considered the core essence of the prayer. Because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam ordered him when he prayed, and he came back, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, go back and pray because you haven't prayed yet. And then he said, he came back again, and he gave salams to him. He said, go back and pray because you haven't prayed yet. And so the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam then says, إذا قمت إلى الصلاة, when you stand up for prayer, right? When you stand up for prayer. Then he mentions everything in that hadith, which we will cover inshallah coming up. But everything in that prayer is considered, and everything in the hadith is considered mandatory. And there's some of the scholars looked and said, oh, there's no mentioning of the standing up in the prayer. But you have to understand, this man prayed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best, this man prayed by himself. So if, when it comes to praying in congregation, there are certain other things also. If you don't line up and you pray by yourself, if you pray by yourself and you don't line up and you don't stay in the same line with the people and you don't have any reasons for it, let's say you want to just start a new line, because you know how some people, they come in and they say, you know what, I don't want people touching me. I want to start a new line. Is that person's prayer valid? The majority of the scholars are of the opinion that if there is space, there's a couple of things here to put into consideration. If there's space, and he doesn't go into that space, even though there's space available for him, he forms a new line just to make a line by himself, then it's not considered acceptable. That means it's not his prayer. If you start to praise the whole prayer, it's not valid like that. Because sometimes you can start by yourself and then people come. Right? So he didn't pray the whole prayer by himself. And so, but sometimes it's full. You don't have any other option. And that's why some scholars have said you touch the person's shoulders to make them come back. Right? But we don't have any, Allah knows best, but there's no specific proof that says you should do that. In fact, by doing that, you're doing something that is contradictory to the sunnah, which is what? Which is causing a gap in the line in front, and you're disturbing the person before you. So you starting a new line, it's not because you want to start a new line by yourself, it's because you have to. Because there's no more space in the line in front. So you start off. So he says, some of the scholars here, when it says, so sufufakum, this is something that is considered recommended I mean, it's something that is not mandatory in a sense that it nullifies a person's prayer. So let's say if someone were to come, right? And they prayed. And then so you know how some people, they're like, they don't really care. And sometimes you don't know. This person says you should line up, you know, on the row. Just like how it happens in our masjid often. Some people are like back here. No, this you should be behind that line because we have that line, right? And so that's why. See this line here. Sometimes it causes more problems, right? Sometimes people look on it like somebody wants to stand in front of that line. Someone wants to stand behind in front of the line, and then he's looking. He said, "Okay." And then half of them are in front of the line, half of them back of the line. And people are confused. They don't know where to stand. They don't know where to stand because everyone's interpreting how to stand, you know, straight based on what? Based on your toe, your heels, or based on your toes? You know, your toes, right? So some people are like, okay, it's here. And you know, sometimes people's feet are different, recommended. Yes, and the order, the Prophet is ordering it, that means you should do it. But if someone doesn't pray, let's say he doesn't straighten the lines, is his prayer valid? His prayer is still valid, but he's contradicting the sunnah. But sometimes he's not trying to contradict the sunnah. His interpretation of what a straight line is different than your interpretation, so it becomes crooked. And so that's why what should be done? The thing that should be done is like, first of all, the person in charge, the imam, should check to see if everybody's lining up straight. That's why you look back and the Messenger of Allah looked back and as soon as everyone's straight, but usually that's not the problem. The problem is people are coming later on. Right? People are coming later on. At the beginning, everybody usually agrees on how to stand up, and then the stand. But the people who are coming later. So we say, sawu sufufakum. Sawu, from the word sawa, means to make it even. Even in what? Even both ways. Even when it comes to straightening lines, and even when you make it the same between left and right and front and back also. What do you mean by left and right? Left and right is that when you're coming back, when you're coming to the imam, to the masjid, what do? You stay in the middle. So behind the imam, and a person staying over there on the right side. And the other guy's going, no, we start here. And the other person says, no, we start there. So where do you start? You start from right behind the imam. Because the Prophet ﷺ said, sawu sufufakum, straighten your lines and also even out your lines. And he says, because indeed, this is, inna is harf ta'keed. And this is emphasis. For indeed, taswiyat as-sufuf, the straightening of the lines is part of the completion of the prayer. And so, when a person, when the person stands up, so how should you stand up also? Some people, of course, you mentioned, some people, of course, that when they stand up, should you stand up your heels and your ankles, should they be touching? Some people, they say, when they say that your ankles should be touching, that is part of the completion of the prayer. That means the straightening of the lines includes what? Includes the feet touching each other. Includes the feet touching each other. When you say the feet touching each other, the majority of the scholars are of the opinion that the feet touching each other should be the al-ka'b, which is the ankles touching each other, right? The ankles and the calf are the two bones. Of course, if you're going to do that, sometimes some of the scholars have mentioned when somebody does that, they also, when you have some people exaggerating in that matter also, where it's disturbing the person's prayer. And so that itself is not also, it's not benefiting in terms of khushu', because sometimes you focus on straightening the line, the other person doesn't care, or the other person is distracted by it. As soon as you touch them, they start moving it away, right? Start moving it away. And if you keep on going, touching them, chasing after them, and then they keep on moving it away, then in that case, sometimes it bothers them more. So you just do the best that you can. And you see some brothers, mashallah, when they stand up, because the people, the gap is so big, they sit down, they stand up when they're, instead of standing straight also, their legs are spread wide apart. And by doing that also, you're not straightening yourself also. You understand? So the best thing to do is to move. Make sure that you're straight. And if there's a gap, allow someone else to come. If you see a gap, then you fill the gap. Or if you can, just tug and pull the other guy towards your side, if there's nobody else on the other side also. But don't, you know, straightening yourself also is something that is necessary. So you don't want to sit down like, you know, spread your legs out, and it causes even more problems because of extreme. Some people, you know, like, and I know in some countries, like if you were to go to some countries, especially in Southeast Asia and especially in Vietnam, people are so used to that when you go into a line, there's such a big gap there. There's such a big gap, and everybody is just like, as you can almost have two people next to you. And so you're sitting down, right? You're sitting down, and or you're standing up. Even after sitting down, you're not touching anything. The gap is so wide. And that's also khilaf sunnah. That's also contradictory to the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to leave such big gaps. And so it's not. And so some people also, when you're praying, you know how if you're praying in the front line, and of course everybody wants to be in the front line, but there's such a small space, and people are trying to get into the front line, and there's not enough space. So it causes you to sometimes, it's just to twist to the left and to the right also, to the point where you're unable to face the Qibla straight. And that's why that's also contradictory also. So you want to make sure, right? Of course, sometimes, of course, the front line is very virtuous, right? It's very, very virtuous. And if there's enough space, you should try to make enough space and have as many people who want to come and they're able to, they should. But at the same time, also, sometimes you have to choose between the straightening of the lines and stay in the first line and following another sunnah, which is, you know how you sit, that when you sit down, one of the sunnahs of sitting down is called At-tawarruk. Do you know what tawarruk is? Anyone know what tawarruk is? There's two types of sitting. There's iftirash and tawarruk. Iftirash and tawarruk. Have you heard that before? Yeah. Iftirash is when you sit on your left foot and you straighten your right foot, and with your toes facing the Qibla like this, right? And if you're able to do that, then that's, of course, that's for the first two. And there's difference of opinion, but that's, you know, like the second rak'ah of a four rak'ah prayer. In the last rak'ah, according to the majority of the Shafi'i, and, you know, the Shafi'i madhab, and also the four rak'ah, in the Hanbali madhab also, in the Maliki madhab. The Maliki madhab is always tawarruk, by the way. Tawarruk is what? You do the same thing, but you slide your left foot to your under your right foot. Right? You slide your left foot. Yeah, if you can sit down, yeah, like that. That's called, that sitting there is called tawarruk, a tawarruk. But when it's too crowded, you can't do that. Right? So it's too crowded, you can't do that. So if you can't do that, if you go to the front line and you can't do that. But if you stay in the second line, then you can apply that sunnah. So which is more virtuous? To do tawarruk? Okay, so now you have a choice. There's a small space. If I go there, I know that I will have to sit iftirash. That means I can't apply the sunnah, because that one takes a little more space, right? It takes a little more space because you're spreading your leg out and you're putting it down, so it's like harder. And so sometimes when it's really crowded in the front line, you can't do that. You can't do tawarruk. Okay, so you know that you go on the second or first line, you can't do tawarruk. You're going to have to. You'll be able to get the reward of praying in the first line, but you will not be able to get the reward of praying in, you know, in the last rak'ah to follow the sunnah of having the sitting according to the sunnah. So which one takes precedence here? Anyone know? So should you... Okay, so some scholars are of the opinion that any virtue that is directly in the prayer is more virtuous than that which is outside the prayer. So which one is inside the prayer, the actions itself? It's the sitting of tawarruk. So this in line is actually outside. And some scholars are of the opinion that no, the more virtuous is standing in the first line. The default rule, the default principle is that actions in the prayer take precedence over actions outside the prayer. Do you understand? This is, they are known, it's known as al-fada'il al-muttasila bis-salah. Al-fada'il al-muttasila bis-salah means the virtues that are in the prayer take precedence over virtues that are outside the prayer. So like, for example, if you come in, you don't have wudu, you arrive at the masjid, it's sunnah to make your wudu, what's the best, the most complete amount of times you wash? Three is the most complete, right? Sunnah to do three. Okay, but it's permissible to do two or one. It's permissible to do two or one. So you're coming, the prayer has already started. The imam has started reciting. You know that if you make wudu and you do three, you wash yourself three times, each limb three times, you'll be able to apply the sunnah of washing three times. But you will miss the first rak'ah because you're going to take longer. But if you wash one time completely, you will be able to catch the first rak'ah. So which virtue takes precedence here? Do you wash three times and then miss the first rak'ah? Or do you wash one time and catch the first rak'ah? Yes, very good, mashallah. May Allah increase you, all of your knowledge. You wash one time so you can catch the first rak'ah. Why? The reason is because the washing, there's a couple of things here. The washing and the wudu, the virtues in the wudu, are virtues that are part of the prayer, but it's not, I mean, it's connected to the prayer, but not directly connected to the prayer. It's not part of the actual prayer. But the fact that you, the rak'at, that you catch the virtues, and there are virtues that are specifically mentioned about what? There are specific virtues concerning catching the first rak'ah and catching the prayer itself, the whole prayer, right? But when it comes to the number of times you wash, it's a virtue, but there's no specific hadith about specific rewards that mention the amount of times you wash. You understand? So now we come back to the prayer. So when you're sitting down, I can't pray, I can't sit tawarruk. But I can do the tawarruk if I pray the second line. If I move up in the first line, I know I can't do it because it's always crowded. It's always like tight. And I will not be able to sit according to the sunnah. So I have to leave that sunnah to acquire one sunnah. Or I have to pray, I can play the second rak'ah and can do complete. Which one do you do? You pray in the second rak'ah? Or second row, sorry? Second row or the first row? Pray the second row?
Yep.
Who? Put two of you think the second row. Put one of you think first. Two, one, first row. Nobody, some of you guys don't know or don't want to answer. Wallahu a'lam, you took the first row. Why? Because the first row has virtues. The virtues that are mentioned about the first row are verbal virtues specifically. There are specific virtues. The reward is very great, and the reward is specifically mentioned that you should try to pray in the first row. The other virtue of sitting tawarruk is an action of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, recommendation, verbal recommendation from the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam for the ummah, of course. And we have many ahadith that one would take precedence over the application of the tawarruk, even though tawarruk is part of the prayer. Do you understand? But based on, then the majority of the scholars are of the opinion that that would be more virtuous, because the virtues in standing up in the front of the prayer, first line, as the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned, if you guys were to know the virtues of the first line, coming early to the masjid, and the virtues of the first line, and also making, the adhan, right? So then you would pick lots if you had to. If you had to, the virtues of the first row, you would pick lots, and you would, because otherwise you would fight. Hey brother, can I take that? No. When it comes to first row, you take it. You take it, right? Unless it's right behind the imam. All right. If it's directly right behind the imam, the people who are praying directly right behind the imam are people who should be able to lead the prayer. If the imam cannot complete the prayer for one reason or another. And this is by order of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said, لِيَلِيَنِي أُولِي الْأَحْلَامِ وَالنُّحَى مِنْكُمْ لِيَلِيَنِي. Let those behind me who are in prayer, those who, أُولِي الْأَحْلَامِ وَالنُّحَى. Those, أُولِي الْأَحْلَامِ means those who are adults. And those who have, you know, in other words, they know how to lead the prayer. They have the knowledge and the capacity to do so. So what does that mean? That means children, even though they might memorize a lot of the Qur'an, if they haven't reached the age of puberty, they should not stay in the front row right behind the imam. But it doesn't mean they can't be in the front row. They can. But right behind the imam itself should be someone who is able to take over. Someone who should be able to take over just in case the imam breaks his wudu or for some other reason. And I just wanted, I know maybe I mentioned this one before, the story. One of the brothers, he's first time leading the prayer, Taraweeh prayer. A friend of mine, it's first time, you know, because you go steady, right? Before you go steady, nobody lets you lead the prayer. Like if he goes to Medina, comes back home, mashallah, and he's never led the prayer before. He's scared, you know, everyone's like, he's like literally shaking. So he says, I was thinking so hard, like I don't know, what am I going to read? He's worried about what to read. And so he starts off, he goes, Allahu Akbar. تبارك الذي بيده الملك رئيس الفاتحة totally. Like he didn't even read Al-Fatiha. His brother's behind, Subhanallah, Subhanallah. Like he's about to go, because he's so worried about what to read. He forgot everything, forgot Al-Fatiha. He did not even read it. This is a friend of mine, actually, by the way. A friend of mine, he said, I went home and the first prayer I read, I didn't read Al-Fatiha. I forgot because I was so concerned about what to read. That I read that surah right away, Tabarak, right from the beginning, without Al-Fatiha. And then when they try to correct me, I was scared even more. So I was funny. Right, your first time, you're already scared, and now everyone's, Subhanallah, Subhanallah. You say, what's going on? And he said, I totally forgot. You know what he did? He didn't read Al-Fatiha. He was so scared. They kept on saying, Subhanallah. He was thinking, what? Look, am I reading wrong? He was just so scared. I don't know what he did. He didn't tell me what he did the rest. How did he correct the prayer? But you can tell, right? You know, some people are like their first time, very, you know, if you've never done it before, it's a frightening experience. And another brother, this brother, they told him, you know, they said, oh, he lead the just lead the Isha, the Taraweeh prayer, the beginning, the first two, you know, the beginning, right? And it's his first time, he never led any prayers yet. And they wanted him, you know, to lead part of the Taraweeh prayer. And even the Taraweeh prayer there, the brothers, they don't read the whole Quran. They just read Juz Amma, and they read over and over and over again in some villages because they don't have a lot of hafal. So they read very simple, like short surah. So he comes and leads, and he was so, he didn't want to, but everyone's pushing him. He got so scared, he said, he went to sujood, and then he looked out the window, and he hopped out the window. Ya Allah, Ya Allah. Ya Allah. And you know what the people are, what are the people doing? They're still in sujood. Ya Allah. So sometimes, you know, like just because somebody goes, you know, and studies in Medina, especially the first year, you're just learning Arabic, and everyone thinks, mashallah, he's a scholar already, but he's just learning, and he's scared, he doesn't know. And so the people were like, you know, they look up, and then the imam is gone. And somebody actually, one of the brothers told me, because this is another, you know, and this is a, you know, it's not a big masjid, it's in the village, a small town, small village. And so somebody said, the imam's not there, ran away. Like right in the middle of prayer, they raised up, he raised his head up, the imam's gone. And of course, after something like that happens, everyone, he gets even more embarrassed. Like it's more embarrassing. Ya Allah. So, to get back to this, inshallah. So, when we choose, you know, when it comes to fiqh, what is fiqh? Fiqh isn't just knowing halal and haram, right? And knowing mandatory and sunnah. But sometimes there are two things. But which one takes precedence over the other? Because many times you're put in a situation where one halal is, one is more virtuous than the other. And sometimes the other one, you're put in a situation where both are haram. But which one, if you don't have any other option, which one is the less of the two, of the harmful things? And that's why when it comes to sometimes in prayer and so forth, we have a lot of actions in the prayer. So what we're talking about right now is taswiyat al-sufuf. Another part of taswiyat al-sufuf, straightening your lines and straightening yourself, is what? is the actual pointing of your toes, because a lot of people don't apply this, and sometimes you're unable to. Like, for example, some of you could probably see me pray right now. Like, I usually do tawarruk, but right now I am unable to. If I do it, I stretch my sort of like my knee, and also there's some ligament that's pulled. So when I sit down, it's very painful for me. And so I just fell down when it was raining the other day, and it stretched, pulled it, and then every time I sit down, it pulls more. And so when I turn my toes the other way, I want to apply the sunnah, but if I do it, it causes more harm for me. It causes the injury to continue, and also it causes a lot of pain. And sometimes I'm standing in prayer, and I want to read longer, but my knees are hurting me. So sometimes I short. You probably noticed this last few weeks. It's a little bit shorter because when I'm coming out, sometimes when I'm standing, it's hurting a lot. So sometimes you're unable to do that. So if you're unable to apply some parts of the sunnah, there's also a difference of opinion amongst the scholars in relation to that. So if someone like Imam Malik, rahimahullah, he said, if you're an imam and you cannot stand up, then let someone else lead. Let someone else lead. The majority of the scholars have said, no, it's okay. And some of the scholars, like Imam Malik, he says, once in a while, it's okay. Once in a while, it's okay. But if you're going to do it all the time, then you should find someone else. Why? Let's say the imam is very old. He can't pray standing up. So he prays sitting down. So if he prays sitting down all the time, that means every single time people come to that masjid, what are they going to do? They're going to sit down, right? And then imagine if that imam is the imam for 20 years. Your kids grow up, what do you think they're going to think? We pray home, we stand up. If we go to the masjid, we pray sitting down. So some of them might think that, you know, the sunnah in the masjid is to pray sitting down, right? But if it's once in a while, then it's okay. You know, once in a while, it's okay. But other scholars said, no, it's permissible. As long as you let people know, it's fine. And other scholars said, let him sit down and the rest should stand up. And of course, that's another issue, inshallah, which we will discuss later on. If the imam is sitting down, should you pray standing up, or should you sit down with him? That's another issue. But right now, we're speaking about standing up straight. Part of the standing, taswiyat as-sufuf, is also straightening the toes. What do I mean by straightening the toes? That means the toes should be facing the qibla. The straightening of the toes, because some people, what do? When they stand, they go like this, right? Or they go like this, because they're trying to get their ankles to touch the other person's ankle. And then their toes are like this now, right? And some people are the other way. And so straightening the toes is also part of the straightening of the lines, also part of the straightening of the line. But sometimes you're unable to do so, and sometimes it's very difficult because it's crowded. You know, when it's very difficult, it's crowded, and so especially when someone on one side is to stretch their leg and the other person straight. And so what happens, you put your weight. When you stand up, you're not standing up straight. And when you're not standing up straight, what happens? Not only do you push the other guy, but we put weight on one leg. One of the legs gets very tired. Right? You guys been in that situation? I think all of us, right? Sometimes you're like this, And then the prayer prays for when it prolongs a little bit. It's like this leg is like hurting now, but the other leg is stretched out the other way, and that's also bothersome. And so that's why when you're standing up for prayer, make sure you put that into consideration. Don't cause problems for the other person so that he can't have any khushu. You know, try to help him to stand straight. You stand straight, and everyone should be trying to stand straight without encroaching on another person's space to the point where you're harming him and causing him to lose khushu. Right? Because sometimes when somebody does that, you can't have khushu. Right? You can't have, and some people are so quick, you stand up and you don't have enough time to straighten your legs. And he's already on your side already. So you're sitting like this, your legs are like this, like, ya Allah. And so that's difficult also. So when you're standing up, your toes should be straight. And also, where should your toes be when you're sitting down? Remember we said tawarruk. Even iftirash. Iftirash and tawarruk, your right toe, your toe should always be facing the Qibla. So your right toe, even when you're sitting down, should always be facing the Qibla. So that's another mistake that some people make when it comes to their toes not facing the Qibla. And so, of course, like I mentioned, you don't want to cause any problems when it comes to, standing up straight and causing problems for the other people. Because what's one of the most important things in prayer? It is khushu. And khushu. So if you're going to apply the sunnah and you exaggerate in it, you might do something that is contradictory, which causes you to lose your khushu. Because khushu is an integral part of our prayer. And if you cause someone to lose the khushu, that also is very, very harmful. Especially with nowadays when you have so many things, that so many people having their phones. As soon as the phone goes off, it's very distracting. Right? So that's why if you're unable, if you don't have to bring your phone into the masjid, then it's best to leave it in your car. If you can, and sometimes you might need it for one reason or another. You know, sometimes, for some people, they need it. But when it comes to the prayer, at least shut down the phone during the prayer or make it go on silent, inshallah. So with that, inshallah, we'll move to the next hadith. The next hadith is a hadith from النعمان بن بشير رضي الله عنهما قال سمعت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول لا تسوّن صفوفكم أو لا يخالفن الله بين وجوهكم. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he said in this hadith from an Nu'man ibn Bashir, la tusawwunna sufufakum. This is an order, but it's an order that is a threat also, a warning. Either you straighten your lines, or Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make your faces, he will cause your faces to differ, which means what? Which means that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will cause one of the ways that we don't really, this is something that only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows, but one of the reasons for the differences and in the community or in a group of people is because they don't straighten their lines, because there's barakah in straightening the lines. That means you straightening your lines in prayer also helps you to straighten yourselves meaning to get along with each other also. To get along with each other. So the unity of the ummah, also the unity of the community also. And in another narration, wali muslimin, كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يسوي صفوفنا. The Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم used to straighten our lines. كأنما يسوي بها القداح. Just like the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم, حتى رأنه قد أقلنا عنه. The Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم used to straighten our lines. That means the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to straighten our lines, and he himself would come and straighten the lines. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to, before the prayer, of course he would tell them, tell the companions, but he would check. Not only would he check, but he would also ask the companions, like, can you check your lines? Because sometimes the lines are in the back. So everyone checked their line, and he would not start the prayer until the lines were straightened. So that's why it shows what? It shows the importance of the prayer and the straightening of the lines of the prayer. So much so that the Prophet ﷺ would not start the prayer until the lines were already straight. And so the Messenger of Allah ﷺ, as mentioned here, كَانَ يُسَوِّي صُفُوفَنَا. And this was something that the community think they're straight, the person is looking from the other side. This, and when you pray, eat prayer, right? Like in this case, everyone should help each other to straighten the lines. And this is where we are correct. The other person knows where we are correct. You come this way. No, you move forward. You move backward. You move forward. So who is going to? Do you let the people choose? Who should be straightening the lines? The imam. And the people should listen. Right? Because if you let the people choose, who's going to do it? Who are you going to listen to? The other person on the right side said, no, you guys come this way. And the person on the right side said, no, you guys come this way. Right? And so that's why the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave a stern warning. Latusawunna. The lam here is lam latusawunna. This is an order and also a emphasis. There's tawkeed. There's emphasis here to show how important it is. And he says latusawunna sufufakum. This is also that noon there is also another tawkeed, which means this is another emphasis. So, you know, in the Arabic language, as I mentioned, in the Arabic language, you don't need exclamation marks, you don't need punctuation marks. Like, why don't you need punctuation marks? You know, question mark, commas, exclamation marks, semicolons, those we have in where?
English.
We have in English and other languages. But in Arabic, in classical Arabic, in Fusha, you don't have exclamation marks. You don't have question marks. Why? Because it's built into the language. The language itself has all that you need to express yourself even more clearly. And that's something that's unique and amazing about the Arabic language, in that all of the emojis, you know how some nowadays, when people send, they send a smiley face, they send what else, all kinds of, you know, like faces and symbols. In the Arabic language, that all of those emotions are built into the language. All of those emotions are built into the language. And that's what makes also the Quran so beautiful. when you recite the Quran, there's so much, it's full of meaning, and also it's the word of Allah, of course. But the language itself, there's nothing like the Arabic language, and that's why Allah chose the Arabic language to be the language of the final revelation, the Quran, that was revealed to the best ummah, to the best of the prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to the best of humanity. And so Allah chose the Arabic language because the Arabic is a beautiful language. It's complete. It's the most, in terms of its strength and expression. And so the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, لَتُسَوُّنَّ, and he says, لَتُسَوُّنَّ, that noon also is another emphasis. It means you better. It says you better straighten your lines. أَوْ لَيُخَلِّفَنَّ اللَّهُ بَيْنَ وُجُوهِكُمْ. Or if you don't do that, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will cause you to differ amongst yourself. And so this this particular hadith, of course, is a hadith that tells us that it is very, very important. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave this warning. When we stand in line, and the prayer is a very integral part, of course, of our deen. When you're standing in line, everyone is standing on the, you know, whether you're rich or poor. And that's why in the masajids, it is not permissible to reserve a place. Like I said, in some masajids, you have an uncle always sitting in a certain particular place. If somebody takes that place, right, then he will get mad. He will be angry. Because that's his place, right? In some masajids, I know some masajids, like a certain uncle, like that's it. That's his place. But if he comes early and he always chooses that place, and he's able to make it, fine. But if he's not there, then you can, let's say he's a little bit late and somebody takes his place and like, no, you can't. Brother, this is my place. No. There's no reservation in the masjid. You know, there's no reservation in the masjid for a place like, okay, this is mine because I was, you know, this is always my place. And some people, they do that. This has always been my place. And they'll yell at you, right? And some masajids. And so that's not something that is permissible. So when you line up, straight low rows, it's to indicate also our, in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we're all equal. And that we're all going to stand in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala again also on the day of judgment. And so when you do not straighten your lines and you don't form your lines properly, what does that cause also? It is going against the sunnah that causes people to hate each other. Like even that uncle that sits in that place, do you think people like that? It's gonna like, people are like, who does he think he is, right? And so what, just the fact that he did that causes problems already in the community. Because he thinks he's deserving of that particular place. And that's why anytime you don't follow the sunnah, you don't straighten your lines, you don't follow the sunnah, then it also causes other problems that we may not think about, because there are so many things. You know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is all wise. Everything is done for a reason, and the wisdom that Allah knows. And sometimes we are given the knowledge of it, and sometimes we don't know the wisdom behind it. And that's why the rule of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is always perfect. When people start making up their own rules and going against the sunnah, then that's when you have problems. Because humans don't see the results of something, because they can't. There's so many variables. I'll give you an example. Like right now we have so many problems, you know, with homelessness and drugs in the United States of America. Right? And so who are the people who, when do you think this, you know, this, you know, increase in crime and drugs, when did it start? It started to increase when marijuana became legal. Marijuana. And why do you think they made marijuana legal? They say that one of the reasons, remember when they were trying to put it on the ballot, they say, well, we can take out the drug dealers, right? We can solve the drug problem, you know, might as well. It's not that harmful, right? It's not that harmful. So just allow people to use marijuana if they're over 21. Let them use marijuana, right? And then we solve the problem. The drug dealers, you know, won't have any problem, won't have anything else to sell because it's legal now, okay? So then we solve that problem. They say, okay, we'll have less problems. But you know what ended up happening? It becomes worse because the drug dealers, you put the drug dealers out of business. They can't sell marijuana anymore. So what do they sell? Fentanyl. They sell something worse, fentanyl, that causes even more problems. So you're thinking, I'm not saying that it's good to smoke marijuana. It's not good. It's not something permissible. But I'm just saying that people, when they do things based on their own reasoning, this person's reading and that person's reasoning, you don't think about all the variables. And so when the drug dealers are out of business, they're not going to go out of business. They're going to find something else. And what do they find out? They find things that are worse than marijuana. But they can't sell marijuana because anyone can buy marijuana legally. Nobody's going to buy it from me. All right, so I got to find someone else, something else to make money. They're not going to stop selling it now. They can't sell marijuana. They sell that which is even worse than that, that causes even more problems. And then you have more people who are homeless, have drug problems. And because it's so strong and affects the mind so much, you have people with mental issues also all over. You have zombies walking in the streets at nighttime, crime widespread everywhere. And then you say, go defund the police. What do you want? What do you expect? Everyone is thinking, this is good, this is good. But, you know, when you let criminals make the laws, if someone steals, okay, and that's why you see the Republicans, for example, they want to defund the IRS. Why? Because they're all cheating on their taxes. Right? So and then the robbers, the Democrats, like all of them, they want to do this, and so they want to do this, and they want to do that. Like, oh, defund the police, because if you let people who steal make the laws, they're going to weaken the authority so they can steal more easily, right? So they're looking at that, those types of things. I mean, and then, oh, no, we can use that money for education. Ya Allah. Education, right? You can use that money for education. But what I'm getting to right now is there is wisdom in following the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When you go against the sunnah, that's when you have chaos. There's even things that you might not understand why, like making wudu before going to sleep, or straightening your lines. How does that affect the community? It affects us, it affects the community. You might think, okay, so we have a lot of division in the community. Where do we start? A lot of people start thinking about so many things. But the first thing you have to do is get people back to the sunnah. Even some of the simple things, as you might think they're simple, but straightening the lines in prayer, teaching the people to pray correctly, calling people back to the masjid, because those are the things that bring our hearts together. And if you don't have unity, and calling people back to Allah, calling people to sincerity, because if people are not sincere, how do you have unity? You can't have unity. You can't come together if you don't have sincerity. If somebody's doing for their own benefit, and other people are doing for this and doing it for that. Because sometimes the community is divided because of lack of sincerity. So you have to build the sincerity. How do you build the sincerity? by teaching people to pray. Pray what? Pray tahajjud. Then they strengthen their sincerity, connect with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because we would get so much more done if people didn't care who got the credit. Right? Sometimes we have a project, but people are not in on the project because they didn't start it. And they might even go against the project. Why? Because, it's not my idea. That's so-and-so's idea. So I'm not going to support it, even if it's a good idea. But because it's not his idea, he doesn't want to support it. And then the other person doesn't want to support the other one also, because it's not his idea, because he's going to get the credit. And why do people want the credit? Because they're not doing it for the sake of Allah. Because if you do it for the sake of Allah, you don't care whose idea it is. If it's a good idea, then you support it. Then you support it. And so that's why there's so many things that we tend to overthink a lot of things. And we sometimes get very philosophical. Right? But the most simple thing is to return back to the sunnah. In prayer, in wudu, in the actions that we're doing. You know, that's why it starts with that. It starts, and so the problems of the ummah have to be solved from within. Because when we are strong, inshallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will help. And that's why, you know, we should always look at ourselves first and foremost. And so the first thing that we need to also do is to educate ourselves and to learn what the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is. To return to the Qur'an and the teaching of the sunnah, because there's so much wisdom and so much benefit in applying it. So, and one of the things is, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, you better stay in your lines or you have differences amongst yourselves. Like you have differences amongst yourselves, which means that your faces will be differing each other. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to straighten the lines because it was so important. And the companions, they said, "Hatta ka'annama yusawi biha al-qidah," which he used to straighten the lines, just like how people sharpen their arrows and their spears. You know, you have the tip. You want to sharpen it. You want to make it perfect. You don't want, you know, when you're sharpening, that means he was so meticulous. Even the little things. So, you know, you see something, not straight, you straighten it. So like the arrows, you know, sometimes when a person makes an arrow, if your arrow is crooked or it has like this part sticking out, that way, well, how is it going to fly? How are you going to shoot? When you shoot it, what happens? It's not going to go straight. Right? How do you make it go straight? Make sure that everything is perfect. Right? So he said, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the companions, they said, he used to straighten the line just like how one of us, we would straighten our arrows. You know, and we would take our arrows and we're straightening it, making sure that it's perfect. And that's how meticulous the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was when he came to straighten the lines. And that's something that's very, very important when it comes to straighten the lines. And also, the reward, of course, is very, very great also, which we will mention later on, inshallah. And with that, inshallah, we'll continue with this hadith. It's a long hadith. And there's a lot more issues that we want to speak about. But inshallah, we'll continue next week. And speaking about that. Anyone have any questions relating to this or anything else? Open the floor for questions if you have any questions. If not, inshallah, subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika, ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.